Good morning. Trying to set the stage. We're in the Middle East, but we have a visitor from Guatemala. And also, we're currently present with one another. And part of being present with one another is considering the needs, the opportunities of our campus community. I'll light this lamp today as a symbol of prayerfully walking with Professor Walt Surratt. Walt is a professor in the business and economics department, and even as I speak, it's my understanding that he's receiving a bone marrow transplant, a tremendous answer to prayer. And his theme scripture for today is Colossians 2, 6 and 7, and this is it. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Established in faith, abounding in thanksgiving. Let us have a prayerful presence with Walt and the doctors and his son, Rob, who is a donor of the bone marrow.
Good morning, and welcome to this homecoming chapel celebrating 30 years of EMU's cross-cultural programs. In a moment this morning, we'll hear from our EMU professor, Linford Stutzman, and a Middle East partner, longtime Middle East partner and very special guest for this weekend, Rami Cassis. But first, it is my very great pleasure to introduce to you Lucie Kamel, who is also here this weekend as our special guest for our cross-cultural celebration. Lucie has worked for the past 21 years for CASIS, the program of Samia in Guatemala City, which is EMU's primary partner for international Spanish language study. She is the director of the Spanish school and has been there all of the 21 years EMU has been sending students. So just try to imagine the number of our students who've been impacted by Lucie over these many years through her diligent and patient and gracious work directing and supervising the CASA Spanish teachers, but also her own direct teaching interactions. Lucie's undergraduate degree is in business administration, and she has a master's in human resources from the Universidad Galileo in Guatemala City. And she also spent a year here at EMU. Some of you probably will remember, in 1998 and 99 as the Spanish language assistant. And she's here today and this weekend representing not only herself, but all of those at CASAS who make Guatemala such a rich educational experience for our student. So please, let's welcome her con mucho entusiasmo.
Muchas gracias. Muchas gracias. Yo les traigo un saludo muy fraternal de CASAS. Nosotros estamos felices de poder unirnos a esta gran celebración de los 30 años del programa cross-cultural. Felicito a la universidad por esta maravillosa idea que muchos estudiantes tengan una experiencia de aprendizaje y no simplemente de una visita de viaje de placer. Okay, I bring you a fraternal greetings from CASAS. We are unit to celebrate the 30 years cross-cultural program. I like to congratulate to the leaders of this university for this marvelous idea that many students can experience a learning trip, not simple, a pleasure trip. Visit in Guatemala.
Mm-hmm. Now, and Lucie, you've met many, many students from the U.S. and other places around the world at CASAS, and just say a little bit about what your experience has been with EMU students when we come.
Okay, let me tell you, EMU students has very important characteristics. For example, they are committed to learn culture, history, Spanish language, but it's not only this. They want to share with other people what they know about human rights, peace and justice, and besides other subjects, they are friendly with a lot of hospitality. Mm-hmm.
And yet, I know from having led two groups of students to Guatemala that they're often very anxious about their Spanish ability when they arrive.
Okay. Our students, the first day, they are very nervous because you know what? Everything is new. They like families, they like to experience food, but they are a little nervous. But after the first day, they found out that they can handle this, they feel more confident, and their time is going better because they know that this, they have a family and the people in Guatemala is very friendly too. Mm-hmm. Okay, mm-hmm. Let me tell you too that the Spanish is a big challenge for the students. Even if they have a background in Spanish, in different levels they can experience in different levels. But for example, for the elementary students, they feel a lot of anxiety, and sometimes they can they feel they cannot speak. But little by little, with body language, with dictionary, they can show what they have. And you know what? After they learn that they can communicate, the families play a good, a very nice, they play a very good paper because you know what? They practice with the students what they learn in class. And after, they feel more confident to talk, and the families are friendly. In the process, they can see how fast they the process is going better. And they can be more confident.
Mm-hmm. And do you want to say just a brief story, Lucy, as an example of some of that anxiety that sometimes comes from parents as well?
Let me tell you one time. We have our new students coming, so they bring a lot of stuff to Guatemala and luggage, clothes, and you know what you need for traveling. But one of our students bring a lot of boxes with water. And we say, what happened with this? Oh, you know what, my parents are too afraid. So they send me a lot of boxes with water, say pure water. So he feel ashamed, but after he found out that we have safe water too, and he talked with his parents about it. But it was a great experience because you know what, you can know how the parents feel about it. But after they talk about what they experience, what they learn, and the parents can feel more better, and they feel more secure too.
Thank you. So Lucy has many more stories, and I know some of you have been with Lucy at CASAS in the past. And so immediately after chapel, there will be a time for people to come and informally have conversation with Lucy in Common Grounds. And you'll have time to spend with her then, and she, of course, will be around for the rest of the weekend.
Okay, God bless you, too.
Roughly 2,700 years ago, in a small village called Beit Zahur, in Palestine, under occupation, a group of locals were sitting around and were startled by a message of hope, peace, goodwill. And instead of sitting around and discussing it, they acted, went to Bethlehem, saw Jesus, and returned to Beit Zahur, having seen a promise and the potential, and begin to tell that story. Today we have with us a genetic and spiritual descendant of those shepherds. Rami Kasis is from Beit Zahur in Palestine, still under occupation, and still a place where the potential and promise of hope and goodwill are shared with others. For the last 13 years, Rami has developed and led ATG, Alternative Tourism Group, with an emphasis on alternative, which he's going to explain. And for the entire time of those 13 years, EMU has been able to take Cross Cultural's to Palestine in spite of everything, intifada, boycotts, threats, occupation in general, without canceling. In spite of all of the violence and the terror, it has happened. It is because of ATG. It is simply amazing. And I'd just like to say, before we actually ask the questions, how many here in the audience have connected to ATG over the last number of years? Know Rami, maybe Ayman, maybe Samer. Just stand to your feet. Let's just see how many. Look at that. Look at that. Rami, you have made a difference in these people's lives and the world, because when they come back, they share the stories that you tell, as well as the hope, peace, and goodwill. So let's ask you a little to explain a few things. One is, when you graduated from university, I think it was just before, a little bit before the Second Intifada started, and you joined ATG as a young graduate and have been working with that ever since. What made you decide to go that route instead of resisting in other ways that a lot of your friends did?
Yeah. Thank you, Linford. Thank you all for inviting me, giving me this opportunity to be with you. Yeah, actually, you know, the situation in Palestine, it's a little bit different than any other places in the world. And to be connected with tourism is not only to be connected with economic activity, because tourism for us also, it's a special, you know, way of showing people around, of letting them know more about our history, culture, know more about our realities. And in this way, we are trying and hoping to mobilize the people to return back to their countries as ambassador for peace and justice in Palestine and Israel. And this made, you know, this is the reinforcement or the why I was connected with working with ATG instead of being connected with other, you know, organization or resistance in other way. Because I believe that we as a Palestinian need to be connected and networking with the people outside to let them change their stereotypes, their thinking, because many people, they knew about Palestine and Israel from the news, but they doesn't have the, you know, the opportunity to be in our country and to be introduced to Palestinian in a first hand and to challenge their stereotypes and perspective. And this is what we hope.
Is that what makes alternative tourism an alternative? Is because that isn't happening very much? Or is there, it's alternative because there's not much tourism? Or what makes it alternative?
No, alternative for me is not only a way to take people to other places or to different places. Alternative for me to take people to the same places, but to give them an alternative perspective and, you know, showing them the places in another way. Because as you know, and many people who have been in our country, you know, Palestine, Israel is a touristic place, and we are receiving millions of people every year. But unfortunately, we as a Palestinian, we are not gaining and not having a lot of revenues out of the people who are coming to our country, because there is a monopoly imposed by the other side on the tourism, and Palestinians are only getting small benefit. And in other way, we are getting new enemies every day, because people are coming introduced by the Israelis. In many ways, they are afraid to come to Palestine. And what we are gaining as a Palestinian is having new enemies every year. And what we are trying to show the people the alternative, to invite them to come to Palestine, to meet Palestinians, to encounter with them, and to try to develop their own objective idea about the situation without being, you know, following their stereotypes.
I think you have recently had an exchange of letters with a UN Commission on World Tourism or something like that, and they are actually going to put it on the agenda. Do you want to say anything about that?
Yeah, actually what we are trying to do as ATG, we are not only working as organization receiving groups coming to Palestine, but we are more active in advocacy work, specialized in tourism, using tourism as an advocacy way to promote Palestine and Palestinian and to mobilize people, you know, about the current realities. What we try to do in the last, you know, 5-6 years, We have published, for example, the first comprehensive guidebook to Palestine to introduce Palestine for the people, to show them that Palestine deserves a visit from the people, and it's not only about one or two places. But also we try, you know, to mobilize the international community and the legal bodies about what is happening in Palestine, because actually, you know, we are, as I said before, we as a Palestinian are victimized out of tourism, because most 50 to 60% of the historical, archaeological, religious sites are based on the Palestinian cities, but with what we are gaining as a Palestinian is only 3% to 5% out of the tourism industry, and this is because of the monopoly imposed in our country, and we are trying to change this odd situation by, you know, showing and raising our voice in the civil society level and in the official level as well.
Okay. The situation from the time we have started coming doesn't seem to have moved very far toward progress with the big building of the wall in those last 13 years and a number of other things. Do you dream of the future and what as changing, and how do you think, how are you working? Are there results that you see that are moving in the direction of your dream?
Yeah, actually, you know, if I remember, you know, 15 years ago when we started with the idea of alternative tourism, how it was a little bit difficult for people to accept, and we used to receive just small groups here and there, and how it is today that we are receiving as ATG, for example, more than 150 groups a year, but also in Palestine as well, there are more people coming every year, and last year I think more than 1.5 million visited Bethlehem alone. So there is a progress, and there are more tourists coming, because, you know, when someone comes to our country, he will become an ambassador and share his experience with others, and then in this way others will not be afraid to come. And this is the way that we are trying to promote tourism, mm-hmm. and to promote that it's a destination that deserves a visit.
Are there any other universities that have a regular program to Palestine besides EMU? I mean, I'm sure there are, but I don't.
Yeah, there are, of course. We as ATG are working with other universities, mostly on the UK and France. But of course, the EMU program is always special because the students are staying longer time in Beit Sahour, encountering with the families, staying with the people in the city, and we know that there are many students that are still connected with the families, and this is what we are, you know, hoping, and is a result of our success.
Yeah, we probably stay the longest of any group, like 3 to 4 weeks, which is quite amazing. In fact, that experience often is cited as kind of the highlight or the most profound experience of the whole Middle East cross-cultural. Does that lengthy stay there have any kind of impact on the local community? I mean, you only answer if it's positive.
Yeah. Yeah, of course, being a guest here, I cannot say except the positive things. No, actually, it's always appreciated by the people. First, we are bringing hope of the people that there are others who are caring and willing to come and stay for a long time in their places. Second, it's of course, it's a financially and economically benefit for the people, because we are paying for the families who are hosting students from, you know, EMU and others. But also it's, you know, it's an enriching, you know, culturally, economically, socially between, and there is benefit in all of these level in the local families in Beit Sahour. Mm-hmm.
So let me ask another kind of question. As you walked around campus, you might have seen a couple of banners that said EMU, a Christian university like no other. Is there anything that you can add to what you just said? Are EMU students like no other groups?
You know, both. I would say both. The university with its program is a very special program. I think it's a very unique one. And the students also is a unique and always appreciated in our organization and country. So
I think you're telling the truth. It looks like it. okay. Like in a nutshell, what do you hope that the EMU students learn and take back with them? What, like, you've kind of answered that, but is there kind of a specific agenda that you have, or is it just come see Palestine?
No, actually, it's always our invitation is for people is to come and see. And I think this is a challenging invitation because we know that many others people are already coming, but they are closing their eyes of the realities of how the people are living. And this is our, you know, what we hope from EMU groups and others to come and see, to be open to the people, to understand the realities, and to return back as activists in their community, to share their experience, and to convince others of the right way and the responsible way of traveling to Palestine and Israel.
Okay, thank you. And like, as we wind down here, do you have any stories that you would like to share, anything that happened that's either funny or frightening or whatever? I mean, I could probably tell a couple about you, but if you want to prevent that from happening, you have the opportunity.
No, I don't have special, or I don't remember now a special story, but I think maybe one of the story that I just remember that I was staying at home at maybe 11 o'clock, I don't know if you remember the story. This happened maybe six years ago. And one of the family, they called me that one of the girls didn't appear. The second, two girls were staying in one family. One returned back home and the other doesn't appear. And the family was worried. You know, I started to call my colleagues. We need to look for her. Maybe she's one of
them. Is that girl in the audience?
No. I don't know. And I have my father, he was staying in my home. So I told him I have to leave. I have to go and to look for this girl. It was, you know, winter time, I think. It was 11 o'clock, so really late. And then after 10 minutes, my father called me. He said, no, don't worry. A man stopped me in the way. He was looking for one of the family. So after I met the girl, it happened that she tried to go to the family walking, but she passed the family and she reached an area which was totally closed. After this area, there was an Israeli wall, so she cannot go further. She forgot the name of the family.
The wall does have a good function, doesn't it? Yeah.
She forgot the name of the family. She forgot how the home looks like. So one of the city members found her. She was really very worried and frightened. So he offered her to take her in his car and to move in the city, hopefully that she will recognize the home. And by chance, he was, you know, my father stopped him by chance, and then he connected the story together. He said, no, I think I know this lady, so he called me, I go and take care to the family.
See, that is the amazing part about Beit Sahur. People who are afraid to go to places like Palestine are often shocked at the safety net that is there. Everybody knows each other. And so I feel like Jan and I often say, we feel safer in Beit Sahur than we do in Harrisonburg. But what? You know, but it's part of that, and the experience at ATG is those kind of stories. I could tell a few other stories as well, but it might get you in trouble, so I won't tell. Anyway, but really, really interesting stories of how the system works so positively. And it's just a delight and a privilege for us as the EMU to be able to partner and to return year after year, knowing that this will be, again, for every student that goes, a profound and life-changing experience. So thank you very much, Rami, for all that you do and for putting up with EMU.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.